I said, get out of the car.
He took off his belt and started hitting me with that.
These marks on your back, is this from the belt?
This kid steals my money.
Lunch money almost led to murder.
He said that if he found out I took money, he'd end my life.
How much money was stolen, sir?
About 35 bucks.
It was $10.
The cops did nothing.
They should have arrested you.
Now, it's Judy's turn.
Can I say something real quick?
No!
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 43-year-old handyman Lance Storrs and his son, 16-year-old Justin, are suing Justin's former classmate, 18-year-old lawn care specialist Chris Elam, for assaulting Justin in a church parking lot. Chris is countersuing for stolen money plus pain and suffering.
Order. All rise. Yeah, this is case number 120 on the calendar in the matter of Storrs versus Elam.
Thank you.
Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat, please.
Are you his father?
Yes, ma'am.
You were not present during the course of this incident.
No, Your Honor.
Why don't you have a seat for a moment? Tell me your first name, Mr. Storrs.
Justin.
How old are you, Justin?
16.
According to your complaint, you knew the defendant from high school.
Yes.
And he assaulted you. You are suing him for the assault, for your injuries, and for your pain and suffering. There is a counterclaim by Mr. Elam, which is rather interesting. It sort of doesn't dispute the fact that he assaulted you. What he says, however, is that you sort of deserved it. And his counterclaim is that because he assaulted you, he was suspended from school, couldn't graduate with his class, lost out on all of the graduation parties and festivities, et cetera, and so he's counterclaiming. So let's start out with when this assault occurred.
Me and my friend, Brian, we're coming back.
What date?
I think the 9th.
The 9th of what 12 months?
May.
May 9th. What year?
2001.
Okay. Were you in school that day?
Yes. We're coming back from lunch, and we pulled into a parking lot to talk to one of our friends, Jeremy. And then he pulled up, and he ran over to the passenger side where I was. I locked the door and he just started banging on the window, telling my friend Brian to get the mother effer out of the truck. And then he started counting down from 10 that he was gonna break the window. Two of his friends held my friend Brian.
Brian was driving?
Yes.
Brian got out of the car?
Yeah, to talk to Jeremy.
Go ahead.
Two of his friends held Brian and he got into the driver's side and started hitting me. He got out of the truck and took off his belt and started hitting me with that after ripping off my shirt.
Okay, so he got into the driver's side and started to hit you. You were seated in the passenger side. Did you get out of the car?
No.
So you stayed in the car?
Yes.
And then he got out and took off his belt?
Yes.
And got back into the car?
Yes.
And started to hit you with the belt? Where did he hit you?
In my head, and my side, and my back.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
I'll get to you in a minute.
Ma'am.
You remained in the car during the course of this assault?
Yes.
Did there ever come a time when you got out of the car and confronted each other?
No.
Now, after he hit you with the belt, what did he do?
He got out and said that if he found out I took money from him, that he'd end my life.
And he left?
Yes.
Tell me about your injuries.
I had a mild concussion.
Do you have any reports?
Yeah, we have.
Now I'll ask your father to come up. He may be organized. I don't know how organized you are. Okay, I'd like to see the reports that you have.
This is the initial emergency room report, and this is from follow-up.
Have any photographs?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see them.
Photographs, and here's the police report.
You want the police report, Judge?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Can you describe to me your position in the car when he was hitting you with the belt?
I had my hands covering my face, and I was bent over, like, with my knees to my head to my knees.
Many of the injuries that I see are on your back.
Yes.
So your back was towards him.
I was like this.
Did he pull off your shirt?
He ripped it off. That's what the marks from right here are. They're from his fingernails.
At what point did he rip off your shirt?
After he was trying to pull me out of the truck. It was during while he was hitting me with his fist.
Before he hit you with the belt?
Yes.
These marks on your back, is this from the belt?
Yes.
Were you arrested for this?
No, I've not been contacted by any police or anything.
Did you file a police report?
Yes.
Do you intend to prosecute the defendant criminally?
We tried.
And what happened?
he wasn't 18, so we couldn't try him as an adult, and the juvenile bureau wouldn't do anything because he was about to turn 18.
Is that what they told you?
Yes.
That he was in a criminal twilight zone? Where do you live?
Oklahoma.
Okay, sir. Now I'll hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Can I say something real quick? He was lying about the belt. There was no belt took off. When I hit him, I was in the vehicle. The seat belt caught my arm, and it hit him like once, and it was just with the strap, and it was...
Just start from
yes,
the
ma'am.
Beginning.
In February 2001, he was accused of stealing one of my buddies, because we're in a weight training class, PE class together, and he was accused of stealing one of my, acquaintance of mine's money. And so, this is my witness, Tommy Evans. We sit back, and the guy, my buddy, he, confronted him about it and was like...
Not interested in your buddy.
Okay.
I'm interested in May 9th, 2001. Let's get there.
Well, we played basketball that day. Everybody played but the plaintiff, Justin Storrs. You know, we went back, just like everything. We went and showered and everything and put our clothes back on because we had to change clothes for weight training. And my locker partner, he was like, oh, my money got stole out of my wallet. I said, really? So I checked my wallet, and all my money was gone, too. And so we went to the principal and the coach of the weight training class and was like, you know, we got a problem. You know, we went back and filled our report, and they said anybody that we think might have did it. And so me and I gave them Justin's name. Then right after that, I go to Votech in the afternoon. I'm in a firefighting cadet, and I was going to that class. And I was going north, and he was going south. And as soon as he saw me, they pulled in that church parking lot. And so I pulled in behind him, and I walked over there.
That's a lie, man.
I don't want to hear you.
Right.
You were not planning on going to church that afternoon, I assume.
No, ma'am. So
you pulled in to the church parking lot.
Yes, ma'am.
For the purpose of confronting the plaintiff.
Yes.
So what did you do when you got there?
Yeah, I walked to the window, and I said...
Which window?
The passenger side window, like he said. And I said, you know, get out of the car. And his friend's screaming in the back, you know. And
his friend...
Brian, the driver.
Yes, his friend Brian is screaming. What was he screaming?
I couldn't really understand what he was saying because I was like, you know, get out of the car, get out of the car.
You're telling who to get out of the
Justin.
Car?
Justin. Because, you know, I wanted to talk to him about it. I walked around to the passenger side, mm-hmm. and that's when the fight broke out.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 16-year-old Justin Storrs says his former classmate, 18-year-old Chris Elam, assaulted him in a church parking lot. Chris claims Justin stole money from his gym locker.
You walked to the passenger side of the car.
Yes, ma'am.
At that time, the plaintiff was sitting in the car.
Yeah.
What did you do next? The car was locked. He didn't open his door.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
So what did you do?
I walked to the driver's side.
Walked around to the driver's side.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, at that point, when you walked around to the driver's side, where was Brian, the driver?
He's more towards the tailgate side, the back
so
of the pickup.
So he had exited the car.
Yes, ma'am. He actually, before, as soon as they... Okay.
He had exited the car.
Uh-huh.
Did he leave the car door open?
Yes, ma'am.
And you got in?
Yes, ma'am.
What was the first thing that was said or done when you got into the car?
I punched him.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Then he swung back at me. Then I hit him once, like in the shoulder. And he said, I didn't steal your money. Ma'am, it was 30 minutes, 20 minutes maybe, how long I knew my money was stole. How did he know? He was at lunch, you know? And so I was like, what money? Then I hit him one more time. Then when I hit him, I caught my arm, about broke my arm when that seatbelt came on. This was all...
That would have been a pleasure.
Yeah, I wish it happened.
That would have been a pleasure if you broke your arm. Listen, you were suspended from school?
I was suspended the next day.
For how long?
The rest of the year. This was on May 9th.
That sounds right to me. And you didn't get a chance to go to graduation?
No, ma'am.
That sounds right to me.
I missed my firefighting training class.
That sounds right to me. You're lucky you weren't criminally prosecuted.
May I call my witness to the...
For what?
He's seen this kid go in the... See, he's in the weight training class, too. He's seen Justin go into the room where our money was.
Go into a locker room?
Yeah.
An open locker room?
Justin's not allowed to go in that locker room. He did not go in that locker room since February. I was trying to tell you about the money getting stolen. He never came back in that locker room.
I don't care.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
How much money was stolen, sir?
About $35 from me.
Just a second.
$30, $35.
Shh.
Okay.
Did you ever tell the police that it was $10 that was taken from the school gym?
No, ma'am.
Ever tell anybody that it was $10?
The $10 thing was probably in February where I was trying to tell you the very first.
Did you ever tell anybody it was $10?
No, ma'am.
So when the police wrote down here, Elam was accusing stores of stealing $10 from the school gym.
I accused Justin of no money. I never mentioned the price to Justin.
No, this is here in the police report. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's deal with your counterclaim first, which is very easy. It's dismissed.
Okay.
Period. End of discussion.
Thank you.
You assaulted him. You decided to be your own judge and jury and prosecutor, and you did that. You took your chances. You got caught. They suspended you. They took away all your pleasure. That's exactly what they should have done. They also should have arrested you. You followed him into a church parking lot for the express purpose of confronting him. He did not wish to get out of the car to speak to you. Whether he was guilty or not, I have absolutely no idea. That's for another day. He did not choose to get out. The driver of the car exited the vehicle. I don't know why. You took that opportunity to trespass in that vehicle for the express purpose of committing a felony. So you are very, very lucky that the police didn't arrest you. I don't know why they didn't arrest you. I will tell you this, that in my several decades in law enforcement, if I saw injuries such as this on somebody, you would be in handcuffs. And I don't care whether it was the belt on your body or the seatbelt on the car, this is more than one time there was an accident with a seatbelt on a car that hit him. This was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at least 9 times that I see that something struck him.
That was the shirt when I pulled it off. I seen it start embracing the skin when I pulled the shirt off. The shirt burned. Them embrasions are.
No!
I promise you they are.
I don't care what you promise me.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Gotcha.
I don't care what you promise me. These are not shirt abrasions.
Okay.
They may be scratch marks from your nails.
It's the same, probably one or the other.
Well, there's a difference between shirt burns.
I seen it
which
when
I never
pulling his shirt
heard
off,
of shirt
say.
Burns, right? Unless you're being dragged on the ground, and scratch marks. Anything here look like a shirt burn to you?
Not really.
No. What are you doing now, Mr. Elam?
My dad fixing on me on work with him now.
Work with him where?
The State Department.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. Then I missed all my fire training. I should be a firefighter right now. There was 2 days.
Firefighter is supposed to have a very cool temper.
Ma'am, I've never gotten any trouble, ever. I am 3.0 average student, never missed any school. This is the first time I ever in any trouble. This kid steals my money. And, you know, I took law into my own hands, which was very wrong.
So?
Very, very wrong.
So? You didn't take the law into your own hands by going to his house, by speaking to him, by speaking to his father, by behaving in a civilized fashion. You beat him up.
He stole the money I was going to buy my mom for Mother's Day present. You know, I got
mad.
Okay, thank you.
Did you take his money?
No, ma'am.
Do you know who did?
No, ma'am. The only reason I knew about the money is because the friend that was with him that he said was in the class with him, he got in to try to unlock the door, and I asked him what he was doing, and he said it's because I took Chris's money.
So somebody who followed you into the parking lot said...
Yes.
Ma'am, that's... Okay. Well, it's false. What he's saying right now is very false.
Yeah, put that together with shirt burns.
Okay.
Did you get suspended from school for stealing money?
No, ma'am. I was the...
I'm just asking you, but the answer is no, you did not. So clearly there was insufficient evidence at the school.
I couldn't prove it.
I'm speaking!
Hey, gotcha, sorry.
So irrespective of what you think...
I got a witness. I've seen him go in the locker room if you want to listen to his statement. Any.
Did your witness tell that to the school principal?
It didn't matter.
Did you? Answer my question.
No,
did
ma'am.
You didn't tell that to the principal?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
Because they didn't question me about it.
Oh. And you didn't want to volunteer?
No, ma'am.
Bunch of morons. You're just lucky you've got somebody who was able to do something with regard to these criminal charges. I don't know who did it, but I guarantee you, I don't think that there's a law enforcement agency in this country with these kind of injuries that would say somebody like you just falls between the cracks because you're not quite 18, you're not quite 19, so we're just not going to prosecute it. Based upon that theory, if you commit some homicide when you're 17 and a half, they just let it go. Because you're neither here nor there. You're not fish nor fowl. You're not a child. You're not an adult. So you get a freebie. You wouldn't get a freebie if I was in charge. Judgment for the plaintiff and the amount requested, $5,000. That's all. Now you know what you can do with the money from your job.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
He made it act like a lot more than it was. He had some abrasions on his back from where I grabbed his shirt and ripped it off. That's it. He got hit four times.
He did hit me with the belt. I mean, he ripped his shirt off this side. I wouldn't get marks on this side of my body.
And now the next case.
All parties on Pollock versus Frederick. Step forward, please.
34-year-old customer service rep Amy Pollock says 46-year-old healthcare manager Diane Frederick won't return the couch she shared with her late ex-boyfriend. Diane says during her relationship with the deceased, it was in his possession.
Okay, easy case. Miss Pollock, several years ago, at least 5 or 6 years ago at least, you were living with a man whose name was?
Gregory Laufer.
Gregory. And at the time you were living together, you decided to buy a sectional sofa together. Then you separated. Each of you took pieces of the sofa. Shh. Strange, but that's what you did. Ultimately, he came and took the whole sofa. And there was an agreement that he would make the payments on the sofa because you had bought it on time. Then Gregory became involved with the defendant. He moved into her home and, according to her, said, "This is my gift to our home, this sofa." Well, unfortunately, Greg died. You have the sofa. You were notified by the credit company that the sofa had not been paid for. So, in order to avoid your credit being trounced, you made all the payments on the sofa, a little over $2,000. Is that right?
No.
How much did you pay?
I brought it up to date. Nothing had been paid since he had died.
So how much did you pay?
I don't have the exact total. I have all the receipts, though.
Well, you should have the exact total.
It's over $700 and some odd.
Well, then why are you suing her for $2,250?
That was the total cost of the couch.
All right, so you've been making the payments. Your first defense, Miss Frederick, was that old Greg gave you the couch before he died. But then you say, just to avoid the hassle, you told somebody to let her know that she could come and get mm-hmm. the couch. Who did you tell to relay that message to her?
Your Honor, one of my witnesses was asked to make that statement to her. And I'd be happy to call him forward if you'd like.
Okay, well, let me find out from Ms. Pollock. Did there come a time when Ms. Fredericks, through an intermediary, said you can have the couch back?
After I had taken her to court a year and a half later, after I had asked for a year to have the couch back. She waited until I sued her to have someone else call me.
When was that?
For the couch. A week after I
filed.
Give
me the date, month and year.
In March of this year.
Okay, so she said March of this year, she said you can have the couch back, right?
Someone else called me and said that that's what she said. Yes.
And she's still prepared to return the couch to you. Why do you think she's responsible for the total cost of this now 6-year-old couch?
Because she's had it in her possession for the last year and a half.
It's not her fault. She's not liable for his debts. As far as she was concerned, he made her a gift. Did you ever show her that you had been paying all of the bills on the couch?
I attempted to, and she wouldn't take my phone calls.
Did you ever send her a letter with copies of the receipts from the credit card company and your checks indicating that you were, in fact, paying off this couch?
No, I did not. I had proof, and when I tried to give it to her, she said she would not discuss the couch with me at all.
So you want your couch back?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fine with you?
Certainly fine with me.
Great. When do you want to get it?
I wanted the money for the couch.
She's not responsible for the money.
It's been used. She's had it in her possession.
No, it was used when she got it. It was used by you. It was used by Greg. Then it was used by Greg alone. Then it was used by the two of them. And then for a year, it's been used by her. She's not responsible to give you the money for the couch. You want the couch back?
Okay.
Good. When do you want to go pick it up? You want to make it 5 days from today?
Okay.
Is that good for you?
Certainly fine.
Do you know where she lives?
No. I have her address.
Then you know where she lives?
Yes.
There's no reason why you can't go there with somebody else to help you move the couch out?
No.
Fine. Very good. We'll draft the order. Thank you.
Thank you.
I excuse you, Mr.
I think she basically wanted the money rather than the couch, which is pretty clear and pretty evident all along.
I'm not real happy with the outcome, to be honest.
Justice was done, and I certainly appreciate that.